Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
And I'm not that there's you.
This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right. I guess that was our open. Welcome to the program, and thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am your host, Michael Boldea. And we are live today as of April 4th, 2019. So we've made it into the month of April. I've been to Dallas and spoke at the conference and am back in Wisconsin. It was an interesting conference. I think there was a lot of wisdom shared. And at some point tonight, I'm going to tell you what I was led to talk about because I believe it's necessary for the body of Christ today. I think that a lot of us get labeled alarmists when we are not, and it's one of those labels that compels people to silence. It compels people to not say anything. It compels people to put their head down and just go along because they don't like being called that name. Well, there's a difference between being an alarmist and sounding the alarm, and I think we're going to get into it a little bit tonight at some point, but there is, as always, a lot going on in the world today, and I think tonight we're going to shift our focus to China and Russia, and more specifically their allegiances together, as well as the certain moves that Russia has been making vis-a-vis Venezuela that should be a concern. Because although our particular government is busy trying to get Donald Trump's tax records or busy trying to get the full Mueller report, which is an excuse for opposition research, nothing more. Look, if what Barr put out contradicted the Mueller report, Mueller would have come out and said, that's not what we said in the report. It's that simple. But people need to cling to something. They need to cling to straws because the idea that Donald Trump won the presidency on his own merit, that he won the presidency all on his own, just galls some people to no end. They can't live with it. They can't cope with it. No matter how much they try to do other things, they keep coming back to this one thing. Donald Trump is president, and we don't know how that happened. And if we don't know how that happened, we have to blame it on something, on somebody. It wasn't our failure. It wasn't our inability to connect to the American people. It wasn't the candidate that was just comically flawed that we put forth. No, it had to be something else. It had to be a nefarious third party that pushed Donald Trump over the finish line. This is how these people think, because in their minds, that's the problem with a narcissist. A narcissist can never be wrong. They'll never apologize for being wrong. They'll never admit to being wrong. They'll always find somebody else to blame. They'll always find somebody else to point to and say, it wasn't my fault. It was their fault. It was his fault. And so I think we're seeing that playing out on a national scale. Well, while we're busy doing these things, dickering about with just useless foolishness that'll lead nowhere, the rest of the world is moving on. The rest of the world is positioning itself. The rest of the world is making moves, as the kids like to say. And they are moves that, if successful, will be eventually to the detriment of these United States. So I'm going to go into two articles that I found. One of them was talking about China and Russia sort of trying to step into the Middle East and perhaps fill a vacuum that we've left behind. And the second, even more disturbing as far as I'm concerned, because it does tie into end time prophecy and what I believe it's all leading up to, is the fact that the Russians now have troops in Venezuela. So, yes, the Russians have sent troops to Venezuela. Think on that for a while. Ruminate. Masticate, if you will. And just, it's not going to end well. If the Russians don't pull out, if the Americans insist on going in, it's not going to end well. So, this is where we are. It's a troublesome season. It's a troublesome time. And not only are our elected officials just completely, I'm not going to say ignorant of what's going on, but I just don't believe they care. They're indifferent. They're indifferent to what is happening internationally because they have one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to do away with Donald Trump by any means necessary. All the while, there's nations that are coalescing. There's nations that are coming up with friendships and treaties. They're putting their heads together and going, hey, it would seem as though America is in a weakened state. It would seem as though, from what we are seeing, that a nation is divided, and a divided nation cannot stand, just as a house divided against itself cannot stand. And so big players, we're not talking about Timbuktu and Tajikistan here. We're talking about China and Russia making alliances and stepping into the void, as it were, to try to fill a power vacuum. And I hope that nobody believes whatever the Russians and the Chinese are doing, they're not doing intentionally. Everything they do is intentional. It is with the utmost of intent. And so if they've played this card, if they chose this strategy, if they decided to go down this particular trail, there is a purpose to it. There's a reason they're doing it. And most people are just too blind or too busy with other things to realize it. So the first article is this: America's strategic adversaries, Russia and China, are trying to fill the power and security vacuum in the Middle East left behind by the United States by exploiting the real and imagined U.S. absence for their own gains, analysts testified before a House panel Wednesday. And I'm sure the House panel took it to heart, and they're going to investigate just as soon as they send out 1,000 more subpoenas to people who may have met Donald Trump back in the 80s for 2 seconds while passing by him on the street. It's gotten that preposterous. It's gotten that ludicrous. And there comes a point. I think all of us that are sane and reasonable, all of us that are just normal human beings who don't have an inherent bias, realize that at some point it stops being a quote-unquote investigation and it just starts being harassment. And I think that with the Senate Judiciary, the House, and the Mueller report all having come in and declaratively stating that there was no collusion between any member of the Trump administration, nay, not even any American citizen, and Russia, it's time to let this dead dog be. It's not going to hunt. It's not even going to move. It's dead. Let it die. But they won't. It's not in their nature. They're incapable of letting go of this because they know that this is all they've got. Can you imagine the position that the other side is in? They put all their eggs in this one basket, that somehow Donald Trump was dirty, that somehow Donald Trump committed collusion, that somehow they can impeach him so they don't have to deal with him in 2020 because, to be perfectly frank, there's nothing that they can attack them on. The economy is still booming. unemployment is at an all-time high, all-time low, I guess. And everywhere you look, people are more optimistic than they were a few years ago. And it's very hard to beat that with candidates like, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. So right now, apparently, the new breed is trying to do away with the old, because this is a concentrated attack on good old Joe. Now, I'm not saying it's undeserved. Don't get me wrong. If you've seen any of those pictures, Joe Biden's got a problem. He's kind of a creeper, and he likes to sniff hair. But they're throwing him under the bus without any sort of reservation, because this is what power-hungry jackals know how to do. They're not interested in anything but the acquisition of power. And right now, good old Joe, Grampy Joe, is standing in their way. And so if they can make a molehill out of a mountain out of a molehill, they'll do it. You know, again, not saying what Joe Biden did or does isn't a little bit creepy. I know that if my daughter was standing there and Joe Biden started massaging her shoulders and sniffing her hair, and the look on her face was as uncomfortable as some of the looks that I've seen on the faces of some of the women and the girls that had to go through the Joe Biden experience, Joe would be missing some teeth. Let's just leave it at that. No further detail or explanation required. If Joe Biden started massaging my daughter and sniffing her hair the way he has demonstrably done in the past, at this juncture, Joe would be missing some teeth. But you see, if you've watched some of the videos, it's gruesome, because the parents know. The look on their faces, that abject defeat, that surrender because of who he was and the power that he held, they sacrificed their children and their children's innocence to a certain extent by not saying anything or doing anything and letting their children cringe there and try to move away from this old guy who's trying to sniff them. Because they knew that if they said anything, it would be the end of their political career. And so they chose their political careers over their own children. What that says about these people, I will let you decide. But it's not a good thing. Let's put it that way. So let's go on with this article. The testimony before the House Foreign Affairs Subcommittee on the Middle East, North Africa, and International Terrorism came soon after several high-ranking U.S. officials warned about increasing cooperation between China and Russia, noting that the partnership represents a significant threat to the United States. Oh, that's just, you know, crazy talk. See, we've lived with this mindset that there's nothing that can threaten the United States. There's no possible alliance of nations that can pose a threat to the United States. And that might have been back in the early 80s. But nowadays, China is an economic powerhouse. Russia is a military powerhouse. And together, they do pose a threat, and a significant one, to the United States. Like I said, the members of Senate, will the members of Congress take this to heart? Will they shift gears and perhaps try to govern as they have been elected to do? Chances are slim to none, because they have their marching orders and they have the bone that they've latched onto, and nothing can make them do anything different than what they are doing. So, Elisa Catalano-Ewers from the Center for a New American Security Bipartisan Think Tank noted in her written testimony that the perception in the Middle East over the last decade has been that the U.S. is withdrawing from its interests and presence in the region, adding, consistent with geostrategic changes, great power competition has also flourished in the region. China finds in the region a receptive environment for its economic policies, while Russia finds room to pursue a multi-pronged strategy that strengthens its overall hand by filling gaps left by the United States. Each offers an alternative model to regional players as compared to the U.S. No strings attached cooperation that don't require them to align with values or make any changes in the way they conduct themselves domestically or internationally. So basically what the Russians and the Chinese are offering is all carrot and no stick. And that is a very attractive offer for many of these nations. When what the U.S. offers is equal parts carrot and equal parts stick, and along comes the Chinese and the Russians, and they say, hey, we're here to offer you all carrot and no stick. Guess who they're going to, bend towards? Guess who they're going to choose in the long term? So while neither Russia nor China, the article continues, can match U.S. traditional presence or influence in the short term, both are exploiting the real and imagined U.S. absence for their own gains. Russia has re-engaged on military cooperation and diplomatic mediation beyond Syria to Egypt, Libya, and of course Israel and the Gulf. And China continues to pursue its Belt and Road Initiative throughout the region alongside modest forays into the security space. Now, unless you've missed it, the Italians just signed up to the Chinese BRI, the Belt and Road Initiative, because they realized what side their bread was buttered on. And so they made that choice to sign on with the Russians at the detriment of the rest of Europe. Look, or with the Chinese, rather. The Chinese have always been long-term players. This is one thing that you have to respect about the Chinese. They don't have a five-year plan. They have a 100-year plan. And so if we see ourselves as moving ahead of them incrementally for a handful of years, and then we decide that's good enough for us to put it in neutral, we're making a mistake. Because the Chinese don't plan for 5 years, they plan for 100. They plan generationally. While this nation, unfortunately, can't see past tomorrow. Look, you can't say that we're a nation that plans for its future when we have, what, $20-odd trillion in debt? I mean, we're talking about numbers that are unfathomable at this point. You sit there and you scratch your head and go, how much is $20 trillion? I don't know. Do you? Nope. But it's a lot of money. It's money that our children and grandchildren will have to pay if this rock keeps spinning the way it has. So just dwell on that for a little while. The fact that we're so unwilling to put off gratification, to delay gratification, that we've taken on more debt as a nation than we can possibly ever pay back. $20 trillion in debt and still climbing at a fast pace. Look, like I said, some things I agree with the Trump administration on. Some things, they baffle the mind. The fact that we're still spending while debt is $20 trillion and climbing is astounding to me. Let that sink in. And every time, look, the budget that was put forth had, what, a 10% cut. in certain special interests and in certain government projects. Every senator and congressperson from both sides just went ballistic. How dare you try to cut anything from anywhere? Well, we owe $20 trillion. The taxpayers on the hook for that. I understand that as senators and congresspeople, you feel absolutely no recrimination about, you know, spending the nation into poverty. But you were elected by an electorate who, I'm assuming, at least as a majority, really isn't interested in being a serf to the Chinese. Yeah, look, the Chinese right now are the long-term players at the table. And they're making moves that will assure their power 50, 100 years from now. Daniel Benaimin, or Benaim, from the Liberal Center of American Progress think tank, added in his written testimony, great power competition is also returning to the Middle East. Russia aims to build on rescuing Syrian President Bashar al-Assad to make a bid for regional leadership as a counterweight to America. China, too, is deepening its investments and pledging billions in loans and aid. Both countries have joined several regional powers in jockeying for footholds across the Red Sea in the Horn of Africa. U.S. President Donald Trump has scheduled the withdrawal of most of the 2,000 American troops in Syria, a move that some experts believe will help Russia achieve its goal of asserting itself as a major superpower in the region and boost Iran's influence. Look, if you thought that the Russians were being held back by 2,000 troops, I've got some beachfront to sell you in Arizona. Look, it wasn't the 2,000 troops. Right now, what the Russians are banking on is that the U.S. government, those that are tasked with leading the country, are so distracted by all the lunacy going on that they won't see them moving in. What they're counting on is that the U.S. government will be so distracted that the Russians can set up their bases and set up their power structures before the Americans realize what happened. I don't think 2,000 American troops made a, you know, hill of difference. It couldn't have. But of course, you know, there's always somebody looking to blame Donald Trump for everything, including meteors and dragons and dinosaurs being extinct. Now, support from Iran and Russia has allowed dictator Bashar al-Assad to remain in office despite U.S. opposition. Assad now controls more territory in Syria than any other warring party, including the American-backed Syrian Kurds. And that's a piece of land that's always going to be in contention. And unless we were willing to do what is necessary in a place like Syria, keeping 2,000 troops would do absolutely nothing. Let's be honest. If we don't have the stomach to shed a lot of blood, then we have no business being in Syria to begin with. But see, we want it both ways. We want to control without being seen as the strong man. It doesn't work that way. Look, the Russians have the stomach for it, to be perfectly frank. And you'll soon see that if and when America pulls out its 2,000 troops, Bashar al-Assad will rule with an iron fist backed by the Russians because they have the stomach to do what we don't, because we're still human beings to a certain extent, and we don't like seeing the slaughter of peoples. And although that may be noble and commendable when it comes to, you know, geopolitical battles and skirmishes, it's a weakness. So this is why the Russians are now ramping up their positions in Syria. They realize that we're not, we don't want ground war. We don't want to send American soldiers to die in Syria to sort of keep two factions of the same house from warring and killing each other. It's not our place to begin with. What business have we in Syria at this point? Look, if we're going to say that it's in defense of Israel, all we have to do is let Israel defend itself. Believe me, they're more than capable. So, this is the situation in Syria. And one might think, well, yeah, that's just one place in the world. What makes you think the Russians are ramping up and mobilizing and all this stuff? Well, we're going to get to a second article where apparently Russian troops are now in Venezuela. And this has been acknowledged and confirmed by the Russians. So it's no longer a conspiracy theory. Because when we were talking about this, I was talking with a friend. I think he has a radio program. And I went, look, the Russians are going to see an apple ripe for picking in Venezuela, and they're going to try to make a move. Everybody was saying, oh, that's just a conspiracy theory. Well, you know, it's no longer a conspiracy theory if it's factually proven. If something you said happens, then it's no longer a conspiracy theory. It's a fact. The Russians have plans. Understand this. Their plans are world conquest. And I think right now the one thing we have going for us is both the Russians and the Chinese think that each other is the useful idiot. They're using each other to get to where they want to go, thinking that they can strong arm the other into acquiescing power once they've reached their desired goal. And I think this is where we're going to see a skirmish between the Russians and the Chinese, because neither want to back down. Both have dreams of conquest. And so you have the Chinese juggernaut who's eating everything in sight. And then you have the Russian war machine, which, unlike the American war machine, doesn't get broadcast on the news every 6 months. They just continue researching and developing and making and building and testing without CNN and Amanpour taking pictures in front of the rockets. That's another thing that, God bless Americans, but man, you guys don't get it. Most nations aren't so open about the weapons of mass destruction that they create. I believe wholeheartedly that the Russians have some nasty things in their arsenal that we don't even know about yet, that they haven't made public because it goes against human nature to make it public. Because if I tell you how I can kill you, then you'll likely start trying to build defenses against the things that I built that can kill you. You understand where this is going? Because we're expecting everyone to be above board. We're expecting everyone to put all their cards on the table and say, this is what we have. Now you tell us what you have. It doesn't work that way. Not even our allies are as open with us as we are with them. Do you understand that? Never mind the Russians. The Russians will never tell you of their full arsenal or their full capabilities or their preparedness. But when you look at how much they're investing in defense, when you're looking at how much they're investing in weaponry, when you're looking at how much they're investing in research and development, you kind of get an idea. Because they're pouring money into this stuff. They're not joking. They're not playing around. This is not a hobby to them. They have intent. They have a purpose. They have a desire. They have a goal. And if this nation will continue to get distracted by every lunacy, if if the likes of Jerry Nadler and Adam Schiff will continue to lead the national discourse and narrative, we're in for a world of hurt, because all this stuff is going to come crashing down and we're not going to be prepared for it. That's the reality of it. That's the truth as I'm seeing it from all the pieces that I'm able to put together. So, this article continues. The Trump administration is expected to leave behind a residual force in Syria to ensure the lasting defeat of the Islamic State and combat Iran, which continues to operate in the country along with its narco-terrorist proxy, Hezbollah. Moreover, nearly 5,000 American troops will remain in neighboring Iraq with the ability to go into Syria if necessary. Earlier this year, General Joseph Botel, the top U.S. commander in the Middle East, cautioned that China may be using its BRI endeavor to support and mask its military objectives as it continues to try to displace the United States and expand its influence in the Middle East and Afghanistan. What did I just say? What this article actually just confirmed. China may be using its BRI endeavor to support and mask its military objectives as it continues to try to displace the United States and expand its influence in the Middle East and Afghanistan. That is exactly what they're doing. And all of these distractions are having a cumulative effect on our government. Look, everybody thought once the Mueller report was out, then that's it. It would be done. We can get back to the business of governing, to the business of running a country. But no, they just pivoted to some other lunacy. Now they want the whole thing, including the underlying documentation, because they know they'll never get it. It's against the law to give them what they want. So unless Jerry Nadler and Adam Schiff think themselves above the law, which if they do, God help us all. But if they don't think themselves above the law, then they know they're never going to get what they want. It is unlawful to hand out grand jury information about unindicted people. It's unlawful to hand out grand jury testimony regarding people against whom there were no indictments handed down. These people were drooling all over themselves, thinking that everyone, including Trump's 10-year-old kid, was going to get marched out of the White House in cuffs. This is how crazy these people have become. And yet we give them airtime and we give them credibility. Meanwhile, our enemies are aligning. Meanwhile, pieces of the puzzle are beginning to be moved and shifted. And what's coming to the surface should be of concern. But no, we want to know the fullness of the Mueller report. What if he didn't, you know, dot an I? Earlier this year, General Joseph Votel, the top U.S. commander in Middle East, cautioned. We read that already, about displacing the United States and masking its military objectives. Both China and Russia have a military presence in Syria in support of dictator Assad. China has expressed concerns about the return of Chinese Uyghur Muslims who traveled to join jihadis among the Islamic State's ISIS rise across Iraq and Syria in 2014. And again, I give credit where credit is due. The Trump administration has done a very good job with utterly decimating ISIS. I know, Barack Hussein Obama called it ISIL, and he did absolutely nothing to attempt to decimate them. Donald Trump did. Hoorah. Anyway, Beijing and Moscow will try to fill the potential void in the Middle East left behind the upcoming U.S. withdrawal in Syria, Votel asserted. Last year, General Votel also noted that China is pursuing deeper cooperation with U.S.-designated state sponsor of terror, Iran. Have you ever heard that saying, my enemy's enemy is my friend? The true effects of that saying are going to become more and more obvious because we're seeing this play out in real time. The Russians and the Chinese are courting our enemies because they are working by the principle that their enemies' enemies are their friends. So keep your eye on what's happening in the Middle East vis-a-vis Russia and China and how they're positioning themselves to court and befriend the U.S.'s most ruthless enemies, one of which is Iran. Look, you have to realize that if Iran ever gets their hand on a nuke, the instant they get it, it will be lobbed towards either the U.S. or Israel. If it reaches the U.S., we are the great Satan, therefore we get it first. Echoing the U.S. military and intelligence community, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo warned last week of the increasing cooperation between Russia and China in Venezuela. We're going to get to that. And beyond, telling a House panel, we have seen Russia and China begin to work together in ways that they hadn't done 15 or 20 years ago. That's a trouble spot that's been happening for a couple of years now. They've just found themselves in places where they have overlapping interests. They have strategic challenges between the two countries. I don't believe they'll ever truly overlap, but certainly, tactically and operationally, almost always, China and Russia stand against freedom, democracy, and liberty, the things that the United States and democracies hold dear. Allow me to translate. Almost always, China and Russia stand against the interests of the United States. Because, even though we're trying to make nice, even though we're trying to pretend at being buddy-buddy, we are at odds. If today Russia or China had the opportunity to destroy us without significant blowback, they would do it. The reason they're trying to court our enemies and build up a coalition is that when they do decide to strike, there will be enough in this coalition that if anybody dares to say anything, they will be summarily silenced. Under Trump, the U.S. military is prioritizing efforts against strategic competitors, Russia and China, over the war on terror. Both U.S. rivals are operating in the Middle East, General Votel told lawmakers. So that was the first article. Now the second article is about something a little closer to home, namely the once glorious country of socialism, of Venezuela. So yeah, for all the hippies excited about Bernie, for all the hippies excited about socialism, look at what's happening in Venezuela now. And if America goes down that road, what will happen in America will be 100 times worse. Because in Venezuela, you have Venezuelans. In America, you have an amalgam of peoples, many of whom have taken advantage of their right to purchase firearms. And when things get truly ugly, the government will have a lot more difficult a time controlling the population here than they do in Venezuela. So, Russia has troops on the ground in Venezuela. Officials from both countries have confirmed publicly for the first time, saying the deployment was provided for military consultations and was not linked to the possibility of military operations. But of course not. Who would dare believe that the deployment was linked to anything other than consultation? Who would dare think that there was a possibility of military operations? Because every country sends a bunch of soldiers to a failing dictatorship to prop it up just to, you know, consult. Should I wear the blue tie or should I wear the red tie? You should wear the blue tie. It makes your eyes more appealing. Thank you for the consultation. It is much appreciated. Worth the trip. Worth the trip. So, military experts are there. They're tasked with the practical implementation of provisions of military technical cooperation agreements. A Russian foreign ministry spokeswoman said in a televised briefing. The remarks came 5 days after photographs showed nearly 100 Russian servicemen disembarking from two military planes in Caracas, stoking concerns in Washington that Moscow was increasing its support for Venezuela's president Nicolás Maduro. So it took 100 soldiers coming off of two military planes to choose the blue tie over the red tie. Consultations and whatnot. Got it. Anyway, the U.S. has called for Maduro to hand over power to the opposition leader, Juan Guaido, amid a growing economic crisis in the country. Maduro, who is backed by Russia, has accused the U.S. of a policy of regime change. The continued insertion of Russian military personnel to support the illegitimate regime of Nicolas Maduro in Venezuela risks prolonging the suffering of the Venezuelan people, who overwhelmingly supported interim president Juan Guaido, the U.S. Department of State said on Tuesday. Now, I can only travel down the road of empathy for the Venezuelan people so long. The reason is that they chose this. They chose socialism. So although I'm sorry for what they're going through, they themselves put themselves in this particular position. Now, the only way that Maduro is going to walk away from power is in a pine box. Let's just get that out of the way. There is absolutely nothing that anyone can offer the man that'll make him walk away, because weak and impotent people tend to cling to power once they attain it, because that's all they have. So the Russians being there indeed will prolong the suffering of the Venezuelan people. But even if the Russians hadn't gone there, the suffering of the Venezuelan people would have still been prolonged, because Maduro isn't going anywhere. And the worse things get, the more violent he's going to get, until either people storm the palace and you see a repeat of what happened in Romania in 1989, or they go back to their desperate lives, hunting rats and neighbor's cats to make a nice soup, all the while thinking, we chose this. This is socialism. This is the utopia. Everyone is equal. Equality and equity for everyone. Pay your fair share, eh? Except for Nicolas Maduro, of course, because, you know, somebody needs to have enough calories in their system to actually string a sentence together. But, you know, besides Nicolas Maduro, everyone else, equal, equally miserable. Ah, the beauty of socialism. But see, you say that to Americans and somehow it doesn't connect. Look, you have actual reasonable people with jobs because they're making donations to him, all a flutter about Bernie Sanders again. Scary to me. That tells me that people are either so ignorant they're beyond help, or they're so ready to give up their rights for perceived comfort that they don't care what it will lead to. Because there's no sane human being that doesn't realize what socialism leads to. There's no sane human being that doesn't look at nations that have come and gone, at regimes that have come and gone, and put two and two together and says, hey, maybe Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Bernard Sanders can't magically make everyone rich and happy. Maybe eventually they will start taxing the middle class and lower middle class until they knock on your door to see if you have more than two chickens. So, back to the story, because it's important. Because if the Russians get a foothold in Central America, it will go a long way to bringing what has been prophesied regarding America closer to completion. Look, the Russians need the foothold. And once they have the foothold, they can spread out from there. Now, you realize that Venezuela is pretty much the lapdog of Cuba. And so if there are Russian troops in Venezuela, it is with Cuba's blessing. And if you haven't read the word of warning that my grandfather had back in the late 80s regarding this nation being attacked from all sides, including Cuba, maybe, you know, read it. Reacquaint yourself with it. Because we're seeing the pieces moving into place, and that's what's disturbing to me. A Kremlin spokesman denied Russia was meddling in Venezuela's affairs, saying that the U.S. should follow our example and allow Venezuela to decide their own fate. Asked to clarify the nature of the cooperation, Dmitry Peskov, the Kremlin spokesman, said, military contracts, military equipment, military hardware. He said that Russia had contracts to deliver special equipment to Venezuela. He did not give further detail during a telephone briefing with journalists. Maria Zakharova, Russia's foreign ministry spokeswoman, said, Russia is not changing the balance of force in the region and is not threatening anyone. Well, not yet. You only have, what, 100 soldiers there? Wait till you have 5,000. Wait till you have 10,000. Then perhaps you may not change the balance of forces or threaten anyone in the region, but you will be by your sheer presence. Just a thought, Madam Zakharova. Zakharova did not confirm the number of troops, which has been estimated at 100. Local reports said they arrived with 35 tons of equipment and were led by a senior army officer. Asked how long the troops would be there, she replied, as long as they need. As long as the Venezuelan government needs. So, yes, this is a naked attempt at keeping Maduro in power. That's it. Nothing more. And with the Russians having sent an advanced team of 100, chances are better than good that there are more to follow. Again, go back to the beginning of the program and realize one fundamental truth. They don't do anything haphazardly. There is a reason. There is a purpose. There is a goal. You just have to be smart enough to see them. So, Venezuela and Russia signed a military cooperation agreement in 2001. And Caracas later became a major importer of Russian fighter jets, helicopters, and assault rifles. Analysts have said that Russians may have been deployed to provide maintenance for aircraft or training for Venezuelan troops, or to fulfill specialist roles as cybersecurity personnel. There you go. See, plausible explanations. Nothing to see here. Move along. The Venezuelan military attaché in Moscow also confirmed the Russian troop deployment, saying they were there for discussion of military technical cooperation. Please note that this is simply a matter of military technical cooperation. The presence of the Russian military is in no way related to the possibility of military operations in Venezuela, he told the Interfax News Service. The presence of Russian troops in Venezuela has infuriated Donald Trump, who said on Thursday that all options were open to make Moscow withdraw its forces. Russia has to get out, Trump said at a meeting in the Oval Office with Fabiana Rosales, the wife of Juan Guaido. Elliot Abrams, the U.S. Special Envoy to Venezuela, said the Russian presence was very unconstructive and clearly designed to force Maduro to look to Russia and Cuba for the country's future. He warned Russia that it would never recover its substantial investments in Venezuela unless it backs a path that leads to prosperity. That's code for unless you keep me in office. Unless it backs a path that leads to prosperity. Oh, mercy. So this is where Venezuela's at. And it's because they chose socialism. The Russians are seeing a play. They're seeing a way in, and they are taking advantage of it. Whether or not it will succeed remains to be seen. But one thing is very certain. The Russians are done sitting on the sidelines. The Russians are done waiting for other nations to make moves. They've started making alliances, started befriending nations that they believe can aid them in their agenda, and they've started going to America's enemies and offering carrots, offering support, offering everything they could in order to ingratiate themselves to the aforementioned enemies. Now, all this is happening. It has just been confirmed that over 17,000 migrants, you and I call them illegal aliens because that's what they are, they're not migrants, but over 17,000 migrants were released and even bused into the interior of the United States. In how long? How long do you think? What, 5 years, 3 years, 2 years? A year. 17,000 migrants in less than 2 weeks. Let that number sink in. DHS numbers are as follows. Now, hold on to your pearls, kids. Since December of 2018, which December 21st, actually, which is basically 4 months ago, not even. 12,745 border crossers were dropped off in San Diego. 22,000 border crossers were dropped off in Phoenix, Arizona. 37,500 were dropped off in El Paso, Texas. And a whopping 53,320 were dropped off in San Antonio, Texas. And yet, every single Democrat representative insists that there is no crisis at the border. Don't believe your lying eyes. Believe what we tell you. Look, if you don't think that this is a silent invasion, you haven't read history. And I'm very, very sad to tell you that when enough people wake up to the reality of what exactly is going on, it will be too late. Whether by diluting the vote to the point that you will never again have a say of what goes on in your own country, because they're pushing for it. If they are here, they must vote, you know. Why can't they vote if they are here? Or violent revolution. Either one is not something that I want to see. So all I can say is keep praying. I will not be live next week, but Lord willing, I will be recording a program. Thank you for listening. Please keep my family and my daughters and my wife in your prayers. The house has been full of mucus and coughs and other things. So thank you for your prayers. They are coveted. For now, I leave you. And I turn it over to Gino if he's got anything to say.
Thank you, Mike. Just keep me in prayer as I travel to Nashville tonight. I will be doing a music conference in Franklin, Tennessee with my wife at Michael W. Smith's church called Connect 2019. Part of my ministry is to Christian music artists around the country and basically encouraging them to use their gift and talents to reach souls, go out into the mission field and evangelism, reach their Jerusalem where they live, and go into the highways and byways and bring hope to the hurting and most vulnerable of our communities. Tomorrow night we have an event at the Hermitage, and then Saturday and Sunday we'll be at Michael's church. And then next week my wife and I are taking a few days in Gatlinburg, Tennessee to relax and spend time with a good friend of Hand to Help, Keith and Judy Atwood, who's recovering from kidney surgery. So keep us in your prayers. And also I'd like to announce a major event. Sunday, May 5th at 3 o'clock p.m., we will be doing a Christian concert at the Solomon Club in Juneau, Wisconsin. It is a strip club that we're praying shuts down, and they are shutting the doors on that Sunday. And the owner, who I prayed with today, is going to let us do a Christian concert there. And we're praying that ministry or church or the area leaders will buy the building and turn it into a building that can be used for faith-based and community outreach. So I don't think it's ever happened before in Wisconsin, but we are going to do a completely Christian and faith-based concert at this club at 3 o'clock Sunday, May 5th. So if you're anywhere in the Wisconsin area, please come and see history being made to lift up Jesus' name and see this last club, the third one in Dodge County, the final one, repurposed. Thank you so much for listening to The Light of Truth. God bless you.